Hare Krishna. My name is Giriraj Swami. I first met Srila Prabhupada in Boston in 1969. And in 1970, he asked me to come to India to help him begin a mission there. And in 1972, Srila Prabhupada called me to Bombay to help with the project at Hare Krishna land. I arrived from Calcutta and Srila Prabhupada was so enthusiastic about the project, he just took me with him on a little tour of the property, and he was pointing out the palm trees and saying what a beautiful property it was and how, you know, it was worth a crore of rupees. And he just really had very big plans for Juhu. Later, Srila Prabhupada left for his travels, as usual, and the new devotees that he had there to help him, you know, had to struggle with his mission in his absence. But Srila Prabhupada named the project Hare Krishna Land, and one of Prabhupada's main intentions for the project was just that people would come and chant Hare Krishna. Once I was with Srila Prabhupada in his quarters at the back of the land after some time, and he heard Hare Krishna coming from the direction of the temple, and he commented, "This is Hare Krishna land. Always the sound of Hare Krishna should be heard." Another time, Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and some young children passed him and said, "Hare Krishna." And Srila Prabhupada replied to them, "Hare Krishna." And then after a few steps, Prabhupada turned to us and said, "Our mission is a success. They're chanting Hare Krishna." So Srila Prabhupada really just wanted that people should come and chant Hare Krishna. And he had full faith that just by chanting Hare Krishna, they would achieve everything. In Srila Prabhupada's last days, there was one group of householders, and Mr. Sethi, Srila Prabhupada's dear friend and ardent devotee, Mr. Sethi, had been associated with the group from before he met Srila Prabhupada. And the group would meet every Sunday at different members' homes, and they would chant Hare Krishna continuously for 12 hours. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then from 6 to 8, they would sing different songs from Vrindavan. So in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada was living upstairs in his new quarters at Hare Krishna land, Mr. Sethi brought the group of householder devotees to Hare Krishna land to perform continuous Hare Krishna Kirtan in the temple. And they chanted and chanted hour after hour. And Srila Prabhupada was up in his quarters, and the devotees in the temple really wanted to reciprocate with Srila Prabhupada. And he also wanted to reciprocate with them. But the lift wasn't working. Prabhupada couldn't come down, he was quite ill, and they also couldn't go up, and they also had to continue the kirtan. So they came out of the temple and stood under Prabhupada's window and chanted Hare Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada, to reciprocate with them, came out onto the balcony and glanced upon them and smiled, and everyone's ecstasy just reached a crescendo. And then Srila Prabhupada went back into his quarters and the devotees went back into the temple. The next day, Srila Prabhupada called me into his room to discuss the kirtan, and he said that he wanted us to offer all the household devotees that had performed the continuous kirtan, that they could stay on Hare Krishna land. We would maintain them in all respects, and all they would have to do would be to chant Hare Krishna in the temple from morning to night. So Srila Prabhupada had so much faith in the holy name. He knew that the holy name was Krishna himself, and that if we chanted the holy name, we would be in the association of Krishna, and we would get everything from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's other main purpose in Hare Krishna land was that people should come and study Bhagavad Gita as it is and other Vedic literatures. When Srila Prabhupada laid the cornerstone for the temple, he invited the people of Bombay to come spend the weekend and study Bhagavad Gita as it is. And after they understood the Bhagavad Gita and began to practice the Bhagavad Gita, he wanted them to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of the blind man and the lame man in India. The blind man may be very strong and healthy, but because he's blind, he can't see. He doesn't know where to go. He can't make any progress. And the lame man, he may have very perfect vision, but because he's lame, he's crippled, he also can't go anywhere. So if the blind man takes the lame man on his shoulders, then together they can go forward. So Srila Prabhupada compared India to the lame man, that India had spiritual vision. It knew where to go. But because of years of foreign domination and exploitation, it was somewhat lame or crippled in a material sense or physical sense. And America was very powerful materially, very advanced technologically, but it lacked the vision of what the goal is and how to get there. So Srila Prabhupada said that if Indian culture and American technology combined, the combination could do wonders for the benefit of the whole world, and the whole world could go forward. So Srila Prabhupada invited the people of Bombay to come spend the weekend, study Bhagavad Gita as it is, make their life successful in Krishna consciousness, and then work for the benefit of others by spreading Krishna consciousness. He often quoted the verse from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bharata Bhumi Te Hoyla Manusya Janma Jar Janma Sartha Karikara Parabhupaka, that one should make one's life successful by Krishna consciousness and then render the best service to the human society by spreading Krishna consciousness. So I'm very honored to be with you today on the auspicious celebration of the 25th anniversary of the grand opening of Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihariji's temple complex. I had hoped I could be with you in person, but the circumstances have not allowed me to come physically. but still I'm with you spiritually. And I think of many of you who I know who have come forward to help Srila Prabhupada in the early days of the project. And I think of others of you who came later after the project was established and joined in the activities then. And I think of so many others of you whom I may never have met and I may never meet in person. But still, somehow, you've come in touch with Krishna consciousness. You've come in touch with Srila Prabhupada's mercy. You've come in touch with the devotees at Hare Krishna land and the deities of Sri Sri Radharani Hari. And therefore we are associated. We're part of a great spiritual family. And I actually feel close to all of you. The history of Hare Krishna land is the history of Srila Prabhupada's struggle to serve his beloved Lord, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari. The history goes back to late in 1971 when two of Srila Prabhupada's disciples met the owner of the land then, and the owner wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada offering the land to him for some great cause. And from then until the temple opened on January 14, 1978, Srila Prabhupada was engaged in a great struggle. First, he had to struggle to actually get the land from the owner. There were so many complications. Then he had to struggle to get the permission from the municipality and one certificate from the police also. He had to struggle to get the permission to build, and then after he got the permission to build, he had to struggle to bring forth the resources to actually construct the project. So the history of Hare Krishna land in one sense is the history of Srila Prabhupada's struggle to serve Radharasa Bihari and of Srila Prabhupada's love for Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari. Srila Prabhupada was so humble. He tolerated so many difficulties for the sake of the deities and the project. And because of his humility and his tolerance and his perseverance, we were also inspired to do the same, to try to do the same for him and for Radharasa Bihari. Years later, in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada was very ill, some of the devotees came into Srila Prabhupada's room in his new quarters. And he was bedridden at the time, and pretty much he was bedridden from then onwards. And they were just reciting all that Srila Prabhupada had to go through to establish Hare Krishna land and build the temple for Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari. And Prabhupada was so sick, he was just lying on the bed listening, and every once in a while he would make a sound to indicate that he was listening and agreeing. And then at the end he said, "That dog." And none of us knew what he meant, "that dog." We thought, was he referring to some of the inimical people that had put so many obstacles in his way over the years? But no, it turned out that he was talking about the dog that belonged to one of the life members where Srila Prabhupada had stayed in the Juhu scheme before we had a place for Srila Prabhupada to stay on Hare Krishna land. And every morning the gentleman would drive Srila Prabhupada to Juhu Beach to walk. And the gentleman would also bring his big dog with them in the car, and Srila Prabhupada had to sit with the dog in the car. Now, for us it might not seem like such a big thing, but for Srila Prabhupada, who we understand has descended from the spiritual world, to have to sit with the dog in the car on the way to the beach was an austerity. So not only Prabhupada endure austerities that we can appreciate, he even endured other austerities that we might not even know about. But he did it all for Radharasa Bihari. And in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada invited the deities to come to Hare Krishna land. He said, "My dear sirs, you come and stand here and I will build a beautiful temple for you." And in spite of all the difficulties along the way, Srila Prabhupada remained faithful to his promise to his lords. And at the end, when Prabhupada was successful, at least in getting the land, he commented that, "Actually, I was not so interested in this land. But because I invited Krishna to come here, then to drive Krishna away would have been a great insult. And I could not tolerate it." So for Prabhupada, the deities are Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And actually they are. And when we come before the deities, we should not just see marble statues, but we should see, yes, we're standing in front of Radha and Krishna. And we should act in such a way that they will be pleased with us. So everything about Krishna consciousness is meant to bring us in touch with Krishna. The holy name of Krishna is Krishna. The words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita are Krishna. The words about Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam are Krishna. So Prabhupada's whole mission was just to bring us in touch with Krishna, to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna. And he knew that if people became Krishna conscious, then all of their problems would be solved individually and collectively. All of the problems of the world would be solved. Srila Prabhupada had personal realization and he had very deep conviction. And thus he inspired all of us. So, today is a great occasion. 25 years since the opening of the temple. We can't even count how many millions of people have come to the temple, how many have had audience of the deities, how many have chanted the holy names, how many have heard the discussions of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and how many have taken Krishna prasadam. They have all been blessed. And again, Srila Prabhupada was not content just for the individuals who came to be benefited, but he wanted them to bring further benefit to others. And by doing so, they would accrue further benefit for themselves. So I thank all of you for participating in different ways. I know that Srila Radharasa Bihari and Srila Prabhupada are pleased with all of you. And the more you serve them, the more you come, the more you associate with the devotees, the more you hear the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the more you chant the holy name, the more you take Krishna prasad, the more they will be pleased with you. And the reciprocation of love between the devotees and the Lord will increase. So we feel grateful that we have the chance to serve Srila Prabhupada at Hare Krishna Land in this great mission. We're grateful that we had the opportunity to meet so many of you personally and work with you to serve Srila Prabhupada in his great mission. And my only request on this auspicious occasion is that Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari and Srila Prabhupada will continue to engage me in their service and in the service of all of you who are their devotees. And together we can be very happy in Krishna consciousness, and we can do great good for the whole world, that others will also be happy. It was actually from Bombay that Srila Prabhupada left India to come to America. He had approached Mrs. Sumati Morarji, who was the chairman of Sindhya Steam Navigation Company, and who lived just two blocks from Hare Krishna Land. In fact, later, Srila Prabhupada informed us that before he even came to America and he would visit Sumati Morarji at her bungalow, he would pass a vacant field and he would think, what a nice place for a temple. And years later, after going to America and beginning the mission there, he returned to India, and in the end, the very same land came to him to build a beautiful temple. But before he left India to come to America, some officer from the Sindhya Steam Navigation Company named Mr. Choksi sort of joked with Srila Prabhupada that you want to go to America to enjoy. You want to see the sights and meet the people and enjoy. And Srila Prabhupada replied, what is left in my life to enjoy? I'm an old man. But I know the people there are confused. They're unhappy. I want to do something for them. I want to make them happy. So that was Prabhupada's mood. He just wanted people to be happy. He wanted them to become Krishna conscious so they could become happy. So we're blessed, we have the chance to be happy by Prabhupada's grace. So let us take full advantage, become Krishna conscious, become happy, and help others to become happy as well. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I recall now, late in 2001, when I received the news that George Harrison had passed away. I didn't know George so well personally, although he did spend several hours with us at Hare Krishna Land in Juhu. But I felt a great sense of loss. And I was surprised myself how I felt. And then I realized that because of all the service he had done for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness, he had become very dear to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna. And not only was he destined to achieve the most exalted destination, to continue his service to Sri Krishna, but he had left a great contribution on the planet Earth of Krishna consciousness for so many people who never would have had the chance to hear the holy name of Krishna or meet devotees if it were not for for him. For days and weeks, people were really just thinking about George Harrison. Remembering his music, remembering his spirituality, lamenting his loss, and perhaps the loss of a part of our history. But my own personal experience with George Harrison goes back to probably 1975 in Juhu. One morning he arrived at Hare Krishna Land and I came out to receive him. Shyamasundar Prabhu was already there with him. And I was struck by how humble and how elevated he was. He was really a very humble and kind person. So we exchanged a few words, and at the time the Juhu project was under construction, and I invited George to take a tour of the construction site. So we went all over the construction site, and he was so positive and so encouraging and appreciating all that he saw. And he was really genuine in his appreciation. Then at 12:30, the noon aarti began in the temple. And because we were still busy with the tour of the site, we couldn't make it to the temple for the beginning of the aarti, although we heard the sound of the conch shell blow. But after about 10 or 15 minutes, we came into the small temple that we had, a semi-permanent temple, as we used to say. And George came in front of the deities, offered his obeisances, and joined the chanting with the other devotees. He just joined the congregation of devotees singing for the deities. And he also swayed back and forth, you know, in a sort of dance in front of the deities. Then, after the aarti was over, one of the devotees had arranged a plate of Mahaprasad from the Rajbhog aarti for George to honor. At the time, Srila Prabhupada was at Hare Krishna Land. So Shyamasundar Prabhu and I accompanied George to Srila Prabhupada's quarters. Now at the time, we hadn't even constructed the additional stories on the back of the tenement buildings. I mean, on the top of the tenement buildings on the back of the land. We only had one apartment from the old tenements that one of the tenants had vacated, and that was Srila Prabhupada's quarters. And so we accompanied George to Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and Srila Prabhupada received him, and George took prasad in front of Srila Prabhupada. And then personally, I left George and Srila Prabhupada alone. Some time passed, perhaps 3 hours or more, and one of the sons of one of our life members from the Juhu scheme came to my room, and he was like a 14-year-old boy, quite pudgy. His father also was quite robust. And he said, "I heard that George Harrison is here." I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I want to meet him." I said, "Well, I mean, he's with Srila Prabhupada now. You really can't meet him now." And I could see him sort of eyeing me like, I'm not going to let this guy get in my way of seeing George Harrison. He sort of eyed me up and down. But okay. And then he started sort of rushing down the stairs. So sort of thought for a minute or two, and then I concluded he's going to try to like burst in on them. So then I ran down the stairs in pursuit of the young fellow, and you know, he was considerably ahead of me on his way into the building where Srila Prabhupada stayed, and you know, I was frantically pursuing him from behind. And you know, by the time I got to Prabhupada's building, the boy was already up the stairs. And by the time I got to the door to Prabhupada's quarters, the boy had just entered. And there was George. I will never forget the sight of George. He was sitting. He was so elevated. He was like a demigod or a yogi. He was sitting cross-legged with his back perfectly straight, like this, listening to Srila Prabhupada instruct him. He was like a yogi, but not just a yogi, he was like the image of the perfect disciple sitting with full attention and concentration at the master's feet, receiving instruction from the master. He also reminded me of a demigod because he was so elevated and so nice. Anyway, the young man, you know, burst into the room, and when he did, that intense, focused, sublime exchange between Srila Prabhupada, the master, and George, the recipient of Prabhupada's causeless mercy, ended. And I was so upset. I couldn't believe that a 14-year-old boy, just because he wanted to see George Harrison, had interrupted a meeting that could have had such positive effects, such great significance for the whole world. But I saw Srila Prabhupada and George. They were not disturbed. They were actually both very gracious. And George said, well, maybe it's time I should leave now. And Prabhupada said, it was nice that you could come. And they parted very nicely. And in retrospect, I like to think that maybe the time had come for their discussion to end, and at least they seemed to take the entrance of the young fellow as the indication that the time had come. But I can say that from my experience and from my realization of George's service, and he was a very special person, and I cherish time with him we had together, and again I think of the glories of Srila Prabhupada that he could attract, you know, such qualified people and inspire them in devotional service to Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna.